Hello, this is Mark Peacock, and welcome to the Travel Commons Podcast. This is Travel Commons Podcast number 25, recorded Monday, December 11th, 2005. Travel Commons is the podcast giving the voice of the traveler more about the journey than the destination. Today's topics: tough times getting in the holiday spirit, the mess of flying in the winter, and classic travel stories, meeting people in hotel bars. Coming to you from the bathroom of the Oldsmar, Florida courtyard. Oldsmar is a little town on the way from Tampa Airport to the Gulf beaches of Clearwater. I find myself once again apologizing for tardiness here now, the second podcast in a row. I'll tell you, last week turned out to be a tough week, a combination of sleep deprivation from too many early morning flights, some severe winter travel problems that we'll talk about, and a crushing, absolute crushing bit of work. On my flight this morning, I actually found the latest issue of Sleep, the Journal of Sleep and Sleep Disorders Research. I was hoping to find some helpful hints on how to recover from these early morning flights. My flight to Tampa this morning left at 6:40 a.m., meaning that I had a 4:30 a.m. alarm hit. However, I'm not sure that articles like "Too Little Sleep Gradually Desensitizes the Serotonin 1A Receptor System," not sure that articles like that are going to be too much help, other than perhaps making me allowing me to nap a bit quicker. This week's a bit easier, though. Just a quick trip to Tampa and then home through Thursday night, when I take my daughter on a weekend ski trip to Breckenridge. They're bragging of 40-inch base, so we're looking forward to it. This week starts up a 5-week campaign sponsored by Expert Flyer. It's an interesting setup. For the next 5 weeks, an ad that I read will be inserted into all the Travel Commons episodes, including all the archive episodes. Then, after 5 weeks, it goes away, perhaps is replaced by another ad. Anyhow, it's a bit of an experiment, so I'd appreciate it if you let me know your thoughts, what you think about it. Following up, here's some interesting statistics that I ran across in a Forrester research article just the other day. 1 in 5 Americans, that would be 20% for the math challenge, takes at least one business trip a year. And road warriors, which Forrester defines as those who take 7 or more business trips a year, account for 23% of the travel market. On one hand, I was surprised at how low these numbers were. You know, when I get on an airplane or run up the elevator in a hotel, I'm always seeing a lot more business travelers than I am anyone else. And so to me, it feels like the road warrior segment, and I'll tell you, 7 trips a year feels like a bit of a low threshold. I mean, it feels like this segment makes up a lot more than just 23% of the travel market. But, you know, then again, there may be some 80-20 rule in effect, that 23% of the market could be driving a lot more revenue. Which sort of dovetails into my own informal survey of the Travel Commons listener population. You know, I've always hated the cliche that starts, there are two kinds of people in the world, and then, you know, sort of divvies up the entire population into some sort of us versus them split. You know, those who hate Brussels sprouts and everyone else. So it's lucky for me that the Travel Commons listeners seem to split across 3 categories, at least near as I can tell from the listener mail that I get. There are frequent travelers, the road warriors like myself. There are those folks who don't travel that much, but seem to find the road warrior lifestyle and stories a bit entertaining, you know, sort of looking behind the curtain, seeing how the people in the premium security line live. I don't know, must be kind of like watching boxing. You know, I can't believe those people are submitting themselves to that much pain voluntarily. And then the last bucket, the last category, are the ex-frequent travelers, the former road warriors. A former colleague of mine and now Travel Commons subscriber, Joni McGarry, is one of those. She left the following comment on podcast number 23 on the Travel Commons website. "I'm finally catching up on your podcasts after a much too long lapse. I listened to 2 of them today while walking on the Siesta Key Beach, and it was just delightful. Brings me back to my old road warrior days. Alas, I'm now one of the stroller and backpack crowd I used to disdain." And finally, Steve Frick from Frick's World, the Frick's World blog, left the following comment regarding the fun with rental cars topic in travel in podcast number 24. "There's nothing like the excitement of walking down the aisle and find out that you've actually got a cool car. In Memphis, I once got a bright yellow Ford Escape. I felt like I was on Baywatch. I've been off-roading in North Carolina in a brand new Ford Expedition. A quick trip through the car wash erased any evidence. Just remember, the difference between a Jeep and a rental car is that there are some places you can't take a Jeep. Exactly, Steve. My sentiments, exactly. And, you know, and you might not necessarily want to smoke the tires on your Jeep either. As always, thanks to everyone who sends notes to me at comments@travelcommons.com or leaves comments on the Travel Commons website, www.travelcommons.com.
I'll be home for Christmas.
The first topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, tough times getting into the holiday spirit. You know, last week while writing down the date in my notebook, December 6th, I came to a stop. Less than three weeks to Christmas, and I haven't given it a moment's thought. I asked the other guys who were with me, hey, anybody else in the holiday spirit? You know, short of ordering the occasional eggnog latte at the airport Starbucks, nobody was thinking much about Christmas. I've always found it tough to get into the Christmas spirit while traveling hard. You know, you just miss most of the normal cues. You don't see many Christmas decorations. None of the hotels I've stayed in have had any decorations up, and save for the American Airlines terminal at O'Hare, none of the airports have had any either. You know, I don't tend to listen to radio in a rental car. I'm usually talking with somebody on the mobile phone. So I don't catch the all-Christmas music radio stations that tend to pop up this time of year. I do remember one time that I ran into a whole band of Hertz check-in staff wearing Santa caps. You know, seemed like elves, till one of them began to dicker with me about the position of the needle on the gas gauge. That sort of diluted the whole Happy Holidays greetings bit. You know, I'm not trying to do the Scrooge thing, but Christmas, as opposed to the holiday shopping season, really should be a family time. And it should be some time for some reflection. I'll tell you though, it's tough to reflect too much when you're hopping between two and three cities in a week and you're a quart low on sleep. And at that same time, you know, it's tough when snow, rather than making everything look nice and pretty and seasonal, makes the airport's flight status screen light up in red delay messages. And nope, red and yellow colors on a flight status display do not engender warm thoughts of the baby Jesus. And it's now finally this week that I'm beginning to think about Christmas, if only just because I'm planning my schedule for next week and I'm trying to get off the road by the 22nd so that I don't get caught in airports with holiday travelers trying to get to their parents' or children's house before the Christmas weekend. You know, it didn't used to be like this. Business would slow to a crawl between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and you could actually take some time and sort of begin to get in the spirit a bit. You know, a holiday party here and there. Now, it is just, it's almost more hectic than any other time of the year, as businesses are trying to spend their last bit of this year's budget, sort of a use it or lose it, before it goes poof. You know, now it feels like it's more like time to react than to reflect. Though perhaps there's a bit of good in this. You know, rather than expand and dilute the Christmas season, like retailers putting up Christmas decorations right after Halloween, you know, maybe the travel is compressing it, concentrating it into a more intense experience. You know, I don't know, maybe it's the espresso version of Christmas. I'm gonna keep on that theme though. Starting Thursday afternoon, the 22nd, I'm lighting up the soundtrack to Charlie Brown's Christmas special on my iPod, and I'm just driving straight through. I'll be 100% in the Christmas zone until Sunday morning. The second topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, the mess of flying in the winter. Looking back on my older travel journals, I find myself complaining quite a bit about flying in the winter. In 1998, I was trapped for 4 hours on an American Airlines flight from White Plains to O'Hare, caught between conflicting snow closings. When White Plains was open, O'Hare was closed. When O'Hare was open, White Plains was closed. It was a mess. The only winter I didn't complain was in 2001, when the recession and the aftermath of September 11th pushed flight traffic down by 10 to 20%. Looking back on all that, though, my experience last Thursday night was the worst yet. I was trying to get home to Chicago from Memphis. My American flight was scheduled to leave Memphis at 3:30 p.m. And even with the normal O'Hare delays, I should be out of Memphis before the mercury bottomed out into freezing and the rain that was on the ground started icing up. We take a 30-minute delay. No problems, usual stuff, typical O'Hare stuff. We board, we stow our gear, we get ready to push back, and then the captain comes on. Now, we've got a 2-hour ground hold. Snow and reduced visibility O'Hare are backing things up. We get off the plane. Not a good sign. And here was my fatal error. I trusted American. Rather than checking other options, rather than lighting up the cell phone and rebooking on a Northwest flight, I decided instead to light up the airport Wi-Fi and get some work done while I wait out the delay. We had a big presentation on Friday afternoon, and so, you know, I was actually kind of happy to keep working on the deck. An hour goes by. I see the captain at the counter, and so I ask him, "Hey, is this flight really going?" "Absolutely," he says. "You know, I got to fly back down to Nashville yet tonight. We're going. I just came on duty. The flight crew is legal until 3 a.m. in the morning." I repeat my mistake. This time, I trusted the pilot. 30 minutes later, American cancels the flight. All the other flights to Chicago that night and the next morning are full. Nobody in the line is happy. A guy behind me asks, sort of no one in particular, "Anybody interested in driving to Chicago?" Now, it's 550 miles from Memphis to Chicago, and it's snowing 1 to 2 inches an hour in Chicago. This is not the quick 3-hour drive I described in podcast number 23, where driving to Indianapolis was quicker than flying. This was going to be a long drive. But, you know, what was the alternative? Trust the airlines again? You know, another guy I was with in Memphis got canceled out of the United flight that was supposed to leave a little bit later than the American flight. He never even got to the airport. They canceled it while he was still in the office. So he decides, you know, he's going to keep his hotel room and try his luck on standby on the morning flight out. I don't know. I got a bad feeling about this one. I decided to drive. So the first guy, the instigator, and me, well, we pick up one other sort of foolhardy soul and go pick up our car. Avis wouldn't rent us a one-way, but the nice people at Hertz are willing to let us take a very nice Kia Amante up to Chicago. We started off our drive at 7 p.m. I'll tell you, it's tough to spend 9 hours in a car with people and not learn at least a little bit about them. Al is doing handheld deployments for a soft drink bottler and is spending a lot of time in Tupelo, Mississippi. You know, he's going to be back down the following Monday, but he just wanted to get home for the weekend and see his girls. He'd actually spent a prior weekend in Memphis, so it's been a while since he's been home. Brian has his own pension consulting business and a couple of kids ranging from 7 to 3 months, and he just wants to get home. The first 4 hours driving through Arkansas and Memphis actually moved along pretty quickly. Brian gave us some advice on choosing between Roth and traditional 401ks, which was actually very handy because I had to make that decision actually the next day and get some paperwork in. So that was very timely. In return, I gave both of these guys a quick tutorial on video compression, how to fit a bunch of kids' DVDs on a laptop for a family vacation. Brian was planning to take the family down to Puerto Rico for Christmas. He was trying to figure out how to keep those kids quiet for as long as he could. So the next 5 hours driving through Illinois was a long slog. The temperature dropped about 30 degrees and the roads just iced up. We started off driving 80 miles an hour through Arkansas. We were down to 30 miles an hour on black ice driving through Champaign, Illinois. It was about 6 degrees out. We stopped counting the jackknife semis in the median. We really began to wonder about our decision. Brian's meeting with one of his clients earlier in the day had been halfway between Memphis and Birmingham, Alabama. He could have gone either way. Right about now, he's just sort of kicking himself for taking the flight to O'Hare from Memphis rather than driving the other way to Birmingham, where he could catch a Southwest flight to Chicago midway. You know, we talked about, you know, no matter what, the Southwest guys seem to be able to put their planes on the ground when everybody else starts canceling. We thought that was a pretty good trait. right up until the time we heard about the Southwest flight sliding off the end of the runway at Midway, blowing through the retaining fence and crushing a couple of cars at a stoplight. You know, maybe this drive wasn't such a bad idea after all. We finally got to our cars in O'Hare in the O'Hare parking lot at 3:30 a.m. Friday morning. We shook hands, wished each other well. Brian and I actually had to work that morning, though Al figured he could figure out a way to sleep in. Later Friday morning, my colleague who stayed in Memphis gave me a ring. He'd gotten bumped off his morning flight and missed our meeting in Chicago. Repointing himself toward his home in Cleveland, he finally got home at 1 a.m. Friday night, Saturday morning. So my drive turned out to be the right decision, though that didn't make me feel any less tired. And the last topic on today's Travel Commons podcast, classic travel stories, this edition, meeting people in hotel bars. The last topic in podcast number 23, scenes from a hotel bar, prompted Cindy Stein to send in her own hotel bar story. Back to our three kinds of Travel Commons listeners, Cindy is in that last bucket. She says she's a former road warrior and now a stay-at-home mom who likes to listen to podcasts on her long walks with her baby son. Anyhow, Cindy writes, I was traveling on business. I had meetings in both Connecticut and Manhattan that week, so I told my travel agent to book me a hotel somewhere in between the two. She put me in Rye, New York. It was the Rye Town Hilton. Chris was in town for an Avaya training class. At the end of the first night, I settled into a cozy table at the hotel bar to have a glass of wine and a light supper. Chris was seated at the bar a few yards away. I asked the non-English-speaking waitress if they had a food menu. She looked at me somewhat confused and left. About 15 minutes later, she returned with a large bowl of cut fruit and presented it to me. I looked utterly confused. I looked over at Chris, who was watching, smiled, and said, "What the hell was that?" That was his in. He asked me if he could join me, and we ended up chatting for hours. The next night, we went to dinner in Manhattan and had a fantastic first date of sorts. The rest is history. We dated long distance for several months. Then he moved in with me in Portland, Maine. A year later, we moved to Austin, Texas, his hometown, and got married. Now we have a beautiful son named Jack. My whole life changed because of one chance meeting on a business trip in a hotel bar. Was it fate or luck? I'd like to think I saw something in Chris, and I seized the opportunity. I took the chance with a stranger, and it turned out to be a life-changing decision. Thanks, Cindy, for that. That's a great story. And, you know, it's a good lesson on the potential rewards if we open ourselves up sort of to the broader environs around us. Of course, not every meeting in a bar is so romantic. I remember standing outside a bar in Budapest, Hungary. A blonde woman smiled, walked over, and said, "Hello, sex?" You know, taken a bit aback at this, I said the only thing that sort of blurted out of my mouth, "No thanks, I'm trying to cut down." She shrugged and walked back to her friends. Okay, that's it. That's the end of Travel Commons podcast number 25. It's a bit of a ramble, but I hope you enjoyed it. And I promise to get back on my weekly schedule for the next one. However, my most important task is to get my driver's license renewed before I leave on my next trip, flying out Thursday from the now notorious Midway Airport for that long ski weekend in Breckenridge. I'm definitely looking forward to a couple of days on the slopes. Anyhow, if you haven't already done so, I'd appreciate it if you'd drop by the website and run through the PodTrack listener survey. The link is on the left-hand menu bar. Again, really appreciate it. It gives me sort of a sense of who's listening to the podcast. And remember, your travel stories, your travel experiences, kind of like Cindy Stein's story, the voice of the traveler, this is what's at the core of Travel Commons. So I appreciate it. Send them along to comments@travelcommons.com or post them on our website at travelcommons.com. And thanks always for the feedback and the stories and the emails. And so until I talk to you next week, I promise, take care and safe travels. Bye now.